Thank you, Pastor. We are delighted to be here, and I want to say also we are most grateful that you do support us faithfully, consistently. This is important for us, and we are especially grateful for your prayers. We are dependent on those, and I believe that the Lord has been pleased to answer your prayers on our behalf, because surely we have been well supplied. We have seen the grace of God in so many ways, and we're just delighted to be associated with Austin Bible Church, because we really do consider ourselves to be but an extension of your ministry, that what you do here is not just confined to this locale, but actually your ministry is being taken abroad, and we take this as a responsibility, and this is something we regard very seriously, that we recognize that what we do is also a reflection on this church, and we do not lose sight of this fact, that we are here, we are serving there because of what you were doing here, and so we are really grateful to be a part of your team. We're part of the same body. We have a different function, working in a different place, but yet we are all working together to fulfill the great commission of evangelizing and edifying. And so we go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, that it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, apart from any works, any merit on the part of man. And the missionary activity that you find in various parts of the world today is nothing more than a reflection of the churches from which the missionaries come. And in so many churches today, the gospel has been watered down, or it has been completely ignored or horribly distorted, and we don't find in many cases today people actually knowing what the truth of the gospel is. But we preach that man is saved by grace, totally apart from any human works, and that it's by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we take this message wherever we go. And we have seen the Lord take the gospel message and work in men's hearts to bring them to salvation, as the message is proclaimed, and we have a very unique system of evangelism, and I call it preaching the gospel, and it's amazing that all one must do is to preach the gospel, and the power is in the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." And so we preach the gospel. God does the work in the human heart. The Holy Spirit convicts people. He gives them understanding about their need for the Savior and what the gospel is. And people respond by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. And sometimes we talk to missionaries and they ask, "What are we doing?" And we tell them and they say, "You can't do that. That doesn't work. This sounds weird. This is bizarre that you don't ask people to do something." But yet we see that God is faithful and people are coming to faith in Christ. And then we believe it is our commission also to edify the saints. And this we do by teaching the Word of God. And I've got to say that I have a great joy in my ministry, because I get to do what I love to do most, and that's to teach the Word of God, and I get to do it as much as I want to do it. And I have a privilege that many pastors in America do not have. Many pastors today tell me they're frustrated that they can't teach as much as they'd like to. They wish that people were more responsive to the Word and more people would come to Bible class. And instead of adding more Bible classes, many pastors today are cutting back because they say there just isn't the interest. But I get to teach as much as I want to. And in fact, I have to turn down requests to come and teach because I have too much to do. And I have accepted so many invitations to come to teach. And it really breaks my heart to have to say no to people on occasion when I simply can't do more. But I get to teach maybe 15 or 20 hours a week and sometimes more, and it's just a great privilege to serve the Lord in this way. But our goal is not simply to have a ministry in Ukraine and in other parts of the world, but to train people so that they can have a ministry. I believe that our job is to provide training so that people can take our place, so that we don't stay there as long as we can and then have to import some more people from the West to take our place. But our desire is to see that nationals will be trained, that they will grow to spiritual maturity, that they will operate under their spiritual gift, and that they are going to become the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists. And so that is our objective. Now, I'm going to show you a few pictures tonight, and I know missionary pictures can be very boring sometimes. I'm going to try not to bore you, but to go quickly through some photos for you just to give you a little bit of idea of some of the ministries that we have, because our ministry is very broad. We are involved in a lot of different things. We go many different places as the Lord gives us opportunity. Now here we have a ministry at a children's cancer hospital. And the man that you see over here, this is Dr. Bruce Bumgardner from Houston. And he just returned 2 days ago from 2 weeks of teaching in Kiev at our church, which is called the Word of God Church, and also teaching at our Bible college that we have started there called Word of God Bible College. And Dr. Bumgardner here is at a children's cancer hospital. We go there every week, and we take students there to train them to do evangelism. And this evangelism takes place, one, in front of a group. So our students are getting experience standing in front of a group of people and presenting the gospel in different ways. We have different strategies for presenting the gospel there, but they also get to go and do this personally, because we can sit down and we can talk with parents, for example, who are there. Or sometimes there are children who are so sick they cannot come out to the meeting room, and so we have the privilege of going into rooms and talking to them one-on-one. And so here we are evangelizing children, but also their parents, their grandparents who come to visit them. And it's a wonderful ministry. It touches your heart when you go there and you see these children who have cancer. Some of them will recover, some of them will not. Some of them are close to entering into eternity. And when you face that situation and you say, these children are not going to live very long, and then you have this urgency. Oh, you want so much that they will understand what Jesus did for them. And so this is a tremendous privilege to go and to give the gospel in this place. One of the strategies that we have for presenting the gospel, for reaching people, is we teach English. Phyllis teaches English. And we have other teachers there as well. We're teaching English on different levels, and we offer free classes in English. Well, people there want to learn English, and so they will come for the English lessons. And in the course of the lesson, we are going to give them the gospel. We are going to interject spiritual truths. Now, we are meeting right now in a school. It's not legal, just as you can't do many things here in America. We have greater freedom in Ukraine than you have in America right now as far as spiritual activity is concerned. But there are still some rules about spiritual activity in Ukraine. Now, we cannot have a church meeting in a school, but right now I don't know where else we're going to go. Now what we do is we can legitimately go into the school because we're teaching English. That's legitimate. Now after the English lesson, we have Bible class. But really what it is, it's listening practice, you see, for these people who've come for English. They can listen to English being spoken, and it just coincidental, of course, that I am teaching the Word of God. So that's what we're doing now. You can see that that's a fairly large class. Phyllis is teaching English, and it's a wonderful strategy to reach people with the gospel and with the Bible. And we've seen many people who have come to faith in Christ because they came to learn English. Not everyone will stay for the listening practice, but many will. And so this is one of the things that we do. We have many classes that we teach. This is a university age class that we have a Bible study in our office on Sunday evenings. Here we are at an orphanage. This is Jim Dumas in the picture, and he is on our team. He works with us. He lives in Houston. He's retired now. But he spends 9 or 10 months of the year now in Kiev working with us. He loves children, and he also directs our outreach ministries. And here he is at an orphanage. We have an opportunity to go to orphanages and to preach the gospel to these children, but also because they live there and we can go back, we now have an opportunity to build from week to week as we go back. And so some of these children have become Christians, and now we can begin to teach them spiritual principles. This is another orphanage in a different town where we go. I also am invited to preach in many, many churches. This happens to be a Baptist church in Ukraine. Now, Baptist churches there are nothing like Baptist churches in America. At least 99% of the churches, Baptist churches in America, I suppose. The Baptist churches in Ukraine have a works gospel. If you want to be saved in their church, then you've got to do something. And they don't even preach the gospel there. They preach sin. And they say, if you want to be saved, you must repent. And they define this repentance as you come to the front of the church, you express sorrow over your sins, you make public confession that you are a sinner, and then you promise God the promise of a good conscience that you're not going to do it anymore. And many people will come and they weep great tears of repentance at the altar, and the gospel has never been presented. Faith in Christ has never been presented as an issue. They're not told about the death of Christ for their sins, but they feel guilty about their sins. And so for many of them, that's what they think the gospel is. Now, there's a sign over the door in the back there, and it says, "Go and sin no more." Okay. I would hope if you had a sign over your door, it would say, "Go and preach the gospel." But there it says, "Go and sin no more." That's their orientation. But I do get many invitations to come and teach in different churches. And as I have opportunity, I like to do this, to go and challenge people. This is a seminary where I have taught, and this is the pastor's class, and I get many such opportunities. Another seminary with men who study there. This was interesting. I was asked to teach a marriage seminar on a weekend. And so I went to teach this seminar, and it was in a park. I didn't know before I got there that it was going to be here, but here we are in a park, and they had loudspeaker set up. You can see these big speakers here, and I have a microphone on, and now this huge sound is rolling out of these speakers, and they probably had 50 or 60 people from different churches who came for this weekend seminar. But because it's in a public park, people are hearing this sound, this voice, And you'd be surprised. There were dozens and dozens of people. Now, are they coming? They're standing around the outskirts, and they're looking in. And before you know it, you have people that are sitting down, and this large group came. And so I just took advantage to present the gospel and teach them principles about marriage. Here we have Phyllis. This is in the summertime. We go out on the street and do children's evangelism. And you can just go out on the street and gather a crowd. It's amazing, and it's wonderful to see this happen. We've seen many, many people come to faith in Christ, and you can see from the young to the old, this was a baptism service that we had, and we go down to the river to baptize, and it's a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, which is my understanding of what baptism is. You're there to tell the world, hey, I'm identified with Jesus Christ. And so we go down to the river, and in the summertime, it's the beach. And there are hundreds of people, and many times we've gone down there, and people, they want to see what's happening. And so all of these unbelievers, they're wading out into the water and standing around, and it's really, I think, it's much better than doing it inside the church where you just have this small cadre of believers watching. And of course, we're always glad to see that, but I think when we can give a public testimony even to unbelievers, that says something too. This was in a village church, and the church is very small, and we had a special day there, and we invited all of the villagers to come, and there were so many people that came that we had to take the chairs outside the church because we couldn't get all the people in for that day. This is another village. The churches are very tiny there. This is Word of God Church, and it's a growing church, but we need to find a place to meet that is adequate for the church and for our school. I would ask you to pray about that. That's a big issue for us. As I told you, we're meeting in a school. Now, we were meeting in this place until a few months ago when one Sunday morning we showed up for church and they locked us out. No notice. Sorry, you can't meet here anymore. And what had happened is some woman had complained to the government because she heard us singing hymns on a Sunday morning. And so she made complaint to the government. The government contacted the school. And so they said, sorry, you can't meet here anymore. So we had to find a different place. And this is a perennial problem for us. Also, you've heard about the elections in Ukraine. We'll talk more about that in a little while. But when they have an election, we can't meet in the school. And so this next Sunday will be the third election that they've had in the last 2 months. And that means we don't have a place to meet. And so we've gone and rented a room in a hotel. But when we do that, we're not able to have Sunday school and the other things that we like to do. Next Sunday, we've got the problem again. This is another Bible school. There are many Bible schools and colleges in Ukraine. Ukraine is wide open right now for spiritual things, and I have been to many countries in Europe as we have traveled, and I believe that Ukraine has greater freedom than any other country in Europe or Asia. It's wide open right now, and we are seeing people respond to the gospel, and we are seeing people respond to the Word of God, and it's so exciting to see this. Because we can go and teach where people want to hear. A few weeks ago, we had a man and his wife from Southern California who had come to teach at our Bible college, and I took him out to a Bible study where I had been invited to teach at a campus ministry, and we showed up to this Bible study, and there were 30 or 40 college-age students who were there, and I taught this lesson for about an hour and 15 minutes, and then they asked questions for at least an hour and a half. And then it's time to go, and as we're going out the door, we still can't go out the door because they're asking questions. And this man, this pastor from California, he was just amazed. He said, I've never seen anything like this. And we see this so often, that people are just hungry for the Word, and we are delighted to be able to go there and to share with them. Let's see, I've got... this is a university class we had in the summertime where there were probably 120 students who came, and we were at a resort down on the Black Sea. And we had these students, two different groups for 4 weeks. And it was great. Get to teach them in the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening. And it was just a really wonderful time. Now, in addition to what we do in Ukraine, the Lord has opened up opportunities for us in other places. And we're invited, and if we have the funds and we have the time, I love to go because we are able to introduce many times the Word of God to people who really haven't been challenged with the kind of exegetical verse-by-verse teaching that we do. Now, this is in Moldova. Now, Moldova is a... let me put the map up here. It's a tiny, tiny country. It's next to Ukraine, and it's next to Romania. This down here is the northwestern corner of the Black Sea. And so Moldova, it's a tiny country. How tiny is it? Well, it's about the size of the state of Connecticut. So it's very small. But in Kishinev, right here, that is pronounced Kishinev. You'd never guess that. And it took me about 2 weeks to learn how to say it. The people there, I found there was a seminary that was dispensational. Now, this is something that is just unheard of in Europe and Eastern Europe anymore. They don't have any idea what dispensations are, but I found this seminary that's dispensational. And it was through Dr. George Meisinger that I was able to go there because somebody wrote to him... I know what it was. When George came to my church a couple of years ago, and I was somewhere else, and George spoke at my church, and somebody came up to him and said, I'm from Moldova, and we would like to have somebody from your seminary come and teach at our seminary. And George says, well, send me a letter. And they did send him a letter, but he had forgotten about the conversation. He forwarded the letter to me. He said, do you know anything about Moldova? And I didn't, but I investigated. I wrote George back, said, this sounds good. And so he corresponded with the people and told them to contact me, and they did, and I was able to go this last fall. Had a wonderful time with a group of people there who loved the Lord. They loved the Word, and they were really excited about the teaching there. So these are the students from Moldova. Okay, just classroom situation going. Okay, now, also, I have been going to Zambia for about the last 4 years. I went, first of all, at the invitation of Gene Cunningham, and I've been going back at least once a year since then to bring the Word of God there. We are helping them to build a Bible training center for pastors. We're very excited about that. We hope that it's going to finally get open this coming spring. But I went to several places in Zambia on my last trip there. This was last May. We went to this village. Now, you can't see it too well here, but you see this little white line on the roof there? Can you make that out? Those are fish drying. on the grass roof, and the smoke in the background, that's where they cook. They have no stoves there. This is the pastor's house. Now, this is the parsonage. It has two rooms. It has a living room and it has a bedroom. Very small. No kitchen, no bath, no closets, living room, bedroom. And the wall separating the two, it's cardboard, and the wallpaper is old newspaper. And you can see it's got a nice grass roof on it. Here is the church. Okay? Wonderful group of people. That's not Africa, that's Brazil, where I've been able to also preach. When I went to Brazil with missionary Tim Lipsy, who invited me to go, had a tremendous opportunity. This is at a television station. And I got to be on two different television programs, interview-type programs, you know, like Larry King. Well, this was statewide national television in Brazil for 1.5 hours. And I got to proclaim the gospel just as clearly as I wanted to. And it was just a fantastic opportunity on statewide television in Brazil. This is a church that is in an island out in the middle of the Amazon River. The Amazon River is the world's largest river. In some places, it's 20 miles wide, if you can imagine that. And this little island is in the middle of nowhere. It took us 2.5 hours in a boat to get to this island, and this was in the middle of the afternoon. They have a regular service because they don't have electricity on this island. And so when they meet while it's still daylight. And this was just on a Wednesday afternoon. They didn't know anybody was coming. We just showed up. But here you have this group of people, and I was so excited when I got there. Here are people who know the Word of God. They had been well taught by some brethren missionaries who had founded this church back in the 40s, and they continued to teach their people the Word of God. And here, in the middle of nowhere, people knew the Word of God. They are dispensationally oriented. They have a grace gospel, and it was great. Oh, it was so exciting to be in the jungle and to have this delightful experience. That's their church. The Amazon River, it's about 14 miles from here to, if you can just see the horizon over there, and that's just the river. It's an amazing place. This is Tim Lipsy and his family. They are in Brazil. They're second-generation missionaries. Tim's father went there. Tim's father had been with the mafia in New Jersey back in the 30s, and he got saved. And he got out of town, okay? And he went to Brazil as a missionary, and he planted many, many churches there and is responsible for many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, now we're back in Zambia. This is a grass church. Not very luxurious, but these people are proud to have a church. That's our church. And they are very pleased to have a place to meet. Now, these people are soon going to have a brick church. They are making their own bricks, just like the Israelites did. They literally are making their own bricks, and they have a way of stacking them up in a certain way, and then a man comes and will fire the bricks by building a fire under this pile. But they're going to have their own church there, and it's a privilege to teach these people who are hungry for the Word. Now, don't ever complain about hard pews. Can you see this? And they will sit there for hours on these logs. In the heat. No air conditioning. Okay. No lights either. They have to meet during the day. But you go here and you teach, and it's a great privilege. Water is a great problem in Africa, clean water, that is. And with our ministry, we paid to put this well in, And we are hoping also to be able to put in two wells in two other places right now, because this, when a church can do this, this is also, it's a great benefit to the community, but it also is a great testimony that the Lord has blessed these people in such a way. This is Ulan. Ulan was a student at our Bible college in Kiev for 2 years. He's from the country of Kyrgyzstan. And now he has gone back to Kyrgyzstan, and he has 12 to 14 men that he is now meeting with on a weekly basis to teach them the Word of God. Now, all of the Stans are Islamic. They are Muslim countries, and Kyrgyzstan is a very staunch Islamic country. It's very, very difficult for Christians there. I would ask you to pray for people in these Islamic countries, Christians, and Ulan. These are Kazakhs in the country of Kazakhstan, and I've been going there since 1989, where I teach at a seminary, and I've also worked with a local church there. One Kazakh local church has been responsible for starting more than 50 Kazakh churches. Kazakh pastors, father and son here. It's wonderful to see this as they work in families. So these are some of the ministries that that we have. The Lord has made it possible for us to minister in different places. We need more workers. The fields truly are ripe. And I'm hoping that Austin Bible Church will send its pastor to Ukraine for a couple of weeks where he can come and teach our students. I think it would be great. First of all, it's great for our students to be exposed to more than one voice. They don't need to hear me 5 days a week, 3 or 4 hours a day for 2 years. And when men come, present the same message, come from a perspective that is dispensational and grace-oriented. This is good for these men. And also, it's going to bring new insights. It's going to expose them to things that, you know, we tend to get in a particular rut, and sometimes we don't get out of it. It's not to say what we're teaching is bad. It's just that new men come, and they bring new insights. And I think it's great for our men. It also gives me opportunity to refresh my batteries, because I'll tell you, teaching as much as I do, it takes a lot of preparation time. And so when men come and I'll teach for a couple of weeks, this gives me time to do more preparation. It also gives me opportunity to travel to some of these other places where I'm able to teach. And I don't travel just because I enjoy the traveling. I go because I love to teach, and I can go to places where people are hungry for the Word of God. But it also gives us an opportunity just to get away from the field for a little while, because sometimes it gets pretty intense when you're there living in the foreign culture, and sometimes just to get away for a few days, when you come back, you're all ready to go again. So I'm hoping that Austin Bible Church will send your pastor to spend a couple weeks with us. It will also be good for him. He'll have to prepare lessons to be taught on a seminary level, and he'll go and he'll teach, and it's going to broaden his vision. He's going to look at missions in a different way. Have you ever been to a field, a foreign field? What? Philippines. All right, great. And so did it help you to look at the world in a different way? You see people that have needs, you see people that are hungry, and you see what missionaries do. And I think that it would be good if he came back from Eastern Europe and saying, boy, these people there, they live a different way, they have a different worldview, and, you know, we need to be involved in missions. So I hope that your pastor will be able to come and spend a couple of weeks teaching in Ukraine. Okay, now, with regard to the current political situation, what's going to happen? I don't know. You've seen the news. One of the things that has surprised me, given the American penchant for exaggeration, is the fact that they have underreported the size of the crowds. You've seen the great crowds in Kiev. On some nights, they have said there were more than 200,000 people. That is a lot of people in one place at one time. Now, Phyllis and I have not participated in the demonstrations at all. Many American missionaries have, and I think it's absolutely wrong for Americans to support any political candidate. We are not there to promote democracy or a Republican form of government or any form of government. We are there to teach people principles from the Word of God so they can make wise choices, so that they can live in a way that's going to please God no matter what their government is. But a lot of American missionaries have gotten involved in the process, and they're waving flags for a particular candidate, and I don't like this. I don't think it's right. But as far as our people are concerned, I have no basis for forbidding them to go to the demonstrations, because what they are doing, first of all, is lawful. It's not illegal, and they are not trying to overthrow the government. That's not what this is about, but rather, there was an election. It was called an election, but it was fraudulent. And that's one reason the Supreme Court threw out the results of the election. For example, now in Ukraine, there are 24, we'll call them counties, 24 districts there. In one district, they showed that there was 1.5 million fraudulent absentee ballots that were cast. 1.5 million. Okay. So, and the opposition candidate said he presented evidence for 1,400 different violations of things. Now, what's going to happen next Sunday? I don't know. Next Sunday, the day after Christmas, will be a third election. I don't know what will happen. Please pray for December 26th in Ukraine. Pray that there will not be violence, bloodshed. It's the grace of God that we haven't had that. As you've seen all of these people, there hasn't been bloodshed. For this, I am most grateful. But the people there want freedom, and they sense that for the first time, the very first time in their history, as long as any of them can remember, they have an opportunity for a real choice. I can voice my opinion and it will be counted. And that's what this is all about right now. They want to have an actual vote, and to vote for a candidate that they think is not just someone that's been put up by the government. Before, they could vote, but who can you vote for? Somebody that the government put up there and said, oh, you can vote anybody you want as long as you elect this man. And now they believe they have a choice. Will the, now you've seen pictures of Viktor Yushchenko, the before and after. Here was a man, very handsome, movie star handsome. Last September he was poisoned, and you can see the effects of that poison. Now they say he's going to recover. I don't know if he's going to get good looking again, but they say that he will recover from the poison. Is he a good guy? I don't know. He has a good track record. He was president of the Ukrainian National Bank. There were no hints of scandal in this, which is incredible for a man in that part of the world to have anything to do with money and not be tainted by scandal and have accusations made. He has a good track record there. He was prime minister before he got sacked by the current president. Then after that, he was elected to parliament. I don't know if he is a man of integrity, but the reports say that he is. Of course, that's relative, I'm sure. But the people who have been demonstrating have high hopes for this man, that he will lead the country in a good direction. My prayer for Ukraine is that God will keep the doors open for us to continue what we are doing without interruption, without interference, so that our efforts to proclaim the gospel and teach the word of God are not in any way hindered. Right now, we can preach, we can plant churches, we can start Bible schools, we can print literature, we can distribute literature. No problems. It's wonderful to have that kind of freedom where we are right now. So it's my prayer that whoever is elected, he's not going to do things that will make it difficult for us. Now, the other candidate, his name is Yanukovych. He has already declared certain things that will make it difficult for evangelical Christians. If he is elected, there's a very good chance that things will become much more difficult for us. So just pray that the Lord will keep the doors open for us to be able to carry on our ministry unabated. Okay? Now, do you have any questions? Yes?
Hang on, Randy. You want to go ahead and put these on the microphone so they get recorded?
You mentioned finding different places to hold church there in Kiev. And I remember a couple of years ago, y'all tried to build your own or buy your own.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all prohibited from doing that?
We are not prohibited except financially. Okay, it's prohibitive. The prices in Kiev for real estate have really skyrocketed. And many things in the city now are just beyond our financial means at this point. But, of course, the Lord can provide, and we wait on Him to open that up for us. I hope that we'll be able to find something that will be adequate for both our church and our Bible college.
Yes, sir. I was just curious as to, because Bob has talked about this, about how your ministry with the Iranians.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I didn't mention that tonight. There are Iranian Christians in Kiev. In fact, there are at least three different Iranian churches that I know of, Christian churches. Now, these people are actually refugees from Iran living in Ukraine. And I have been able to have a ministry to them to go and to hold a Bible class in this church and to help them in other ways. From time to time, we have supported the ministry with finances because they struggle there as well. But this continues to be an open door, and I would love to be able to do more. I don't have time to do more, but it's my hope that we're going to be able to have greater impact. Now, one of the men that I have taught in Iranian, he is now producing radio tapes to go out with Trans World Radio, which is one of the great missionary organizations in Europe. And he is now producing Bible lessons in the Farsi language that are being broadcast into Iran. And so I've been able to have input to him, and now he's producing these radio broadcasts that are actually going into Iran. We have a little bit of a language problem there that many of them do not speak very good Russian. And so for a Russian speaker to go to speak to them in Russian, it's difficult for them to understand. And, of course, I don't speak Farsi at all, but the pastor of this church where I've been going, he taught English in Iran before he left. And so he speaks English, he understands English perfectly, and so I'm able to go and I can teach in English and then he translates it into Farsi. But yes, we continue to have a ministry among Iranians. And I'm excited about this too, because if the door ever opens up for Western missionaries to go to Iran or for these people to go back to Iran, we're going to have some men who have been trained, who have some good doctrine, and they're going to be the first ones in, and they're going to be able to minister to their people in their own language, in their own culture. So we're excited about that. Thank you.
Do these people have access to Through the Bible Radio in any of these places you go to?
Yes. And I will tell you that Dr. McGee sounds much better in Russian than he does in English. Of course, his broadcasts are translated into many languages. And he is he's available in Russian. And I've heard a couple of his lessons in Russian. Very interesting. And he's also in Kazakh. So, that's good. I would mention also that for this past year, we've had two women from our church who have been working in Egypt, in Cairo, to do evangelism with Muslim women there. It is very difficult to evangelize Muslims, particularly in their culture. And you can't win these people by preaching the gospel to them. They just reject that. What you do is you show them the grace of God, and you show them through your life that you have something that they don't have. And that's pretty easy to do, because in many cases they are helpless and hopeless, and they recognize that. But as you go and you have a testimony before them, as you gain their trust, they begin to see you, then you can talk to them as they begin to ask questions. And so we've had two of our young ladies who studied Arabic, first in Ukraine, and then they went to Egypt and they studied Arabic there, and now they're teaching English to ladies in Cairo with the intention of being able to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a very difficult field. It's something that takes a long time, and it's very frustrating, of course, because you want to do so much, but you cannot. And also, it's dangerous there to just be very bold about your Christianity. It's very dangerous to do that. But we do have these young ladies who are there right now.
Speaking of that danger, is there anything that you've just spoken of that you would rather not have available? This message is going to be on the Internet within the next 5 minutes. Would you prefer that it not be?
No, I don't have any problems with anything I've said going out. I don't think there's anything that can be identified that would hurt us.
Okay. Excellent. Any other questions? These children with the cancer, is any of that Chernobyl related? Is there any effects there that you've seen in Mogilev or in Kiev?
Now, when we were in Belarus, we were there for 3 years, from 93 to 96. We saw much sickness related to Chernobyl. We used to go to a radiation hospital with radiation sickness. See a lot of thyroid cancer, which is Chernobyl related. They blame a lot of things on Chernobyl, but with the children in the cancer hospital now, it's probably not. I can't say that definitively, of course, but it's probably not directly related to Chernobyl. One of the things that we do see now that is undoubtedly related to Chernobyl is that the young women of childbearing age, women who are now in their middle 20s, are having a lot of miscarriages. And that is directly related to Chernobyl. It's a problem there. Anyway, we're only 75 miles from Chernobyl, so it's very close. And there is still a lot of effects from that explosion there, because the ground is contaminated. And, of course, it rains and the water runs into the river. And so it comes clear down to Kyiv, because the river flows right through, and so we don't eat any fish unless it's from the ocean, and so it's flown in, and there are certain things that we don't eat because we know that there's the possibility that they would be contaminated from Chernobyl. But
any other questions? Christopher, do you want to ask yours now on tape, or do you want to wait till after the class is over? My son has a report to deliver for his Awana group, and he's supposed to interview a missionary, so he will ambush you on your way out the door.
Okay. Prayer requests. We ask, of course, that you pray for our safety. It's becoming more dangerous just for missionaries or for Americans in Europe. In some places now, Bruce Baumgartner was in Germany last year. Well, yeah, just a few months ago. And he went into one church where he was scheduled to teach, and they found out that he was from Texas, and they escorted him out of the church because he was, first of all, an American. Secondly, he was from Texas, and therefore he's from the state where George Bush was governor, and who didn't stop the execution of some criminal. And so, I mean, you know, we go more and more places, and, oh, you're an American? Very interesting. We were in Cairo, sitting in the lobby of a hotel, and there was a man sitting about 6 feet away from me across this coffee table. And he looked at me and he said, "You're an American, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, I'm from Iraq, and we're enemies." Well, what are you going to do in a situation like this? And I said, "Friend, our governments may not agree, but I want to tell you I am not your enemy." And I, you know, just tried to diffuse the situation. And very, very soon I got up and made my departure because I didn't want an incident there. But do pray for our safety. Pray for our health. We're living in a foreign culture. There are a lot of things related to health there. Mark and Karen Musser, who had been with us for 6 years in Ukraine, left the field this June because they have been having health problems in their family. Married couple with three children, and they've just been having health problems for the last 2 or 3 years, and they haven't been able to get over them. And so they really believe they need to return to the States for at least a few years to try to recover their health. So pray for us in this regard. Phyllis has had a lot of health issues this past year. So, of course, you get sick here, too, and we know that. But when you leave your own bailiwick, sometimes you're more susceptible to things. So I ask you to pray for that. Pray for the Lord's grace in keeping Ukraine open to what we do. Pray that the students that we train are going to find places where they can go to minister. One of the most exciting things for us is to see these men that we've trained go out, and now they are starting churches. They are starting Bible studies. They're having an impact in Ukraine and in other countries as well. One of the men that graduated last June, he's now serving in a church in Belarus. He's gone up to Mogilev, where we were for several years. So we are seeing fruit in this area. So pray for fruit for our students. And we ask to pray for a building for us to meet and for our support. So we are grateful for you. We do give thanks for your support, especially your prayers. So thank you.
Let's close with a word of prayer, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Almighty Father, you have heard these requests that have just been spoken, and we are in agreement with them. Father, we lift them up before you, asking for your provision, asking for your wisdom, asking for your will to be manifest. And Father, we thank you that if there's anything that we have asked for incorrectly, Father, you understand the limitations of our understanding. You understand that we are not volitionally rebelling or intentionally asking for the wrong thing. We are forming these requests in accordance with your will as we understand it. And we thank you, Father, that if there is anything that has not been in keeping with your will, that the Holy Spirit does intercede on our behalf with groanings too deep for understanding. Father, we're asking that you would answer, not according to what we've asked, but beyond what we could ask or think. And, Father, not according to what we've deserved, but according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We do thank you for this missionary report. We thank you for the encouragement, the blessings. We are just delighted this evening that you are going to bless us in double portion. And we thank you for the completed session. And if you delay long enough, Father, we are anticipating a feast and the teaching session to follow. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.